right, what is up, everybody? Welcome into a live Rapid Reacts Inside the Circle. It is 2:30 Eastern Time on Sunday. Happy Father's Day to all of the dads out there, including my co-host, Josh Mansfield. Josh, what's up, man?
What's up, man? Happy Father's Day to you as well. Hope you're having a great vacation.
Yes, thank you. I just got my grocery shopping done for the week. And so I'm chilling in the parking lot, taking advantage of the internet here because I can't upload. I can't even upload a 10 meg file at the house. So, yikes. Yeah. Are you doing anything fun for Father's Day today?
Well, I'm stuck in Dallas by myself, so no, not really.
Okay.
Yeah, we'll celebrate when I get back.
I hope you treat yourself later.
Yeah. I've been watching. I started For All Mankind, the Apple TV series.
Like about is it good?
Race. It's really good.
I finished it's, the it's like season. It's like documentary or it's
no, it's mock-y. it's a sci-fi kind of movie that's like it imagines the world that if we never stop the space race with the Soviets.
Oh, if we never stop.
A different decade. Yeah. So like the first season's like the 60s or 70s and then it just moves each decade for a season. So yeah,
Apple highly recommend. TV's low key got some good shows. I got Slow Horses. That's a fire television show.
I haven't seen that.
Highly recommend. When you're done with this one, try that one.
Okay.
All right. Should we actually talk about some disc golf? It is. I mean,
two of the most boring final rounds in the history of golf majors. Yeah. Carry on.
I hear you. Well, let's just hit the headlines first of all. Of course, Gannon Burr wins. He didn't really play great today, but it didn't matter because he had a 9-shot lead. And he cruises into a 5-shot victory over Ricky Waisaki in MPO. And Evelina Salonen beats the youngsters. She, and not only that, she played amazing today. Mm-hmm. I mean, she could not miss from 25 to 35 feet. And when she's doing that, you just don't have a chance. Yeah. This was like round one redux. And she showed up huge, despite the fact that Julia Forsh shot a 6 down, which was the number that I said yesterday would be required in order to win. Julia showed up and played good, and Evelina simply played better for her 5th major win, and she is now an official Grand Slam in her career. Now that she's officially won the European Open and not just Konopiste. Yes, she is one of 3 players to do it, along with Paige Pierce and Kristen Lett.
Let's go. That's so sick. I didn't even think about it. But you're right. I'm so excited to talk big picture Evelina this week because it's a whole nother ball game right now with Evelina and even when she has she's very streaky, we know this. But 5 majors that moves her. She was tied right before with Carrie Berlogar, and is now going to be solo like 7th or so. Anyway, keeps moving up the list. Juliana Corver's got 6. That's where she's going next. So it was exciting to watch Evelina get another win. Not the most exciting round in the world because Evelina just beat the socks off of her card, and Julia Forrest played well, but the two
after
bogeys
hole 5 it was kind of that was kind of it.
Yeah so not the most exciting round in the world, but exciting for Evelina absolutely to come out and be in the lead, have it be very close, and just for her to step up in a big way on the putting green to win it.
Zerubel says Evelina would win every tournament if there was a month between each one. She does seem to do well with rest. I mean, so where are we at with Evelina's season right now? Okay, I need to look at her season overall because...
Get the certificate. It's time to add a new name.
17th Queen City, 6th Champions Cup, 5th Jonesboro. Then she wins Kansas City over Henna. Crazy comeback. 7th Open at Austin, and this is her first tournament since then. That was back on May 7th. So a little over a month later, she wins her first major of 2026.
Listen, people, Charlie's ready to say it. Evelina's the best FPO player in the world.
I'm not ready to say it. I still believe that Silva is that player. But I got to give credit to Evelina because she, you know, obviously she had to go out and beat these young players, and she did that, but she also just destroyed all of the other top FPO players.
Yes.
Like, who was next closest? It was, Missy, I mean, Missy in fifth, a whole nine shots back, like, and then in a way beyond past them, Holland at five under. Silva had a terrible week, finished one under.
So, someone saying that Silva was sick, had like a head cold and wasn't feeling well. So I don't know. Anyway, small caveat maybe. They said it on broadcast. Okay.
I mean, that sucks. Yeah, hard, hard to play well if you're like
even like a sick. Minor head cold is like inconvenient, and like you're hiking up a hill trying to breathe. So anyways,
I, you know, Mike says no charge for Missy. It's true. I mean, obviously she wasn't going to win today, and even if she played her best round, but to not birdie any of the first six holes and take a double bogey at the sixth, you just kind of like sad trombone noises on that one. I don't know what's going on with Missy. I'm like starting to worry bigger picture.
No.
Not that she's bad. Josh.
I'm not pressing the
I'm almost ready to hit the panic button.
I will hit the panic button. I'll tell you right now. There is a point in the schedule that you are allowed to press the panic button for Missy Gannon. And it is, I'll tell you when. Hold on. It is
Pretty deep into the season.
This is Missy. This is what Missy I will pull up her stats.
Missy won a major last year in April.
I know. I'll go 2 years back. I'm not worried about Missy till Ledgestone. If she sucks at Ledgestone, press the panic button all you want. That's right. But listen. All right, hold on. Let me pull up 2025 standings.
I'm starting to think that she's not at the level of the other top FPO players.
All right.
I know that's crazy to say, but it's a big sample size at this point.
I hear you. Missy, it feels like this is slower than her previous slow beginnings, but the way Missy has always just turned it up, like if we only took Missy's first half of the seasons for the past years, Missy would be a mediocre player. She'd be tier two. And then you take her second half and she manages to bamboozle voters into getting player of the year.
The goat. Second half goat. Yeah. Crimson says you can't keep no showing at big events and keep up this narrative, Josh. She plays well, but she just doesn't feel like she has that it factor to get to her top gear, says Jibin. Here's the thing, though. I mean, Josh is right about this. Like, we say these things, and then down the stretch of the season at the biggest tournaments with the most money, she does play extremely well.
And at courses,
and, like, has done that multiple years in a row.
Yes.
So I will still say, I think she looks like she's turning the corner with the throwing compared to earlier in the year. And she did outplay everyone at that top level besides Evelina.
Right.
Like, so just saying.
Yes. If we get to Ledgestone and she still looks bad, all right, press the button. That's fine. But when Missy rattles off Worlds, GMC, and DGPT Championship, we're going to come back and we're going to go, all right, you know what? Fine. That's what Missy does.
That's what she does.
And as somebody notes, you conveniently left off Lance's point where he says, oh boy, last time you said that, it was about Own.
Okay, all right. How about Julia Forrest, dude? What? Oh. She's crazy. Here's her finishes this season. First, third, first, second. Now those are, like, you know, A tiers and B tiers and stuff. And now second at a major against the world's best. Like, is this, are we seeing the next superstar in the making? She's 14.
Probably. I mean, here's the thing, though. right? Julia, and Mike correctly points out Forsh. Apparently, it's like a sh sound at the end.
Yeah, I know. It's weird to say that.
It is weird. Let me add a couple of things for you though here, okay? Because like, I can't believe this. Oh my gosh, Charlie, are you ready for something that's gonna kind of like blow your mind?
I hope so.
I think like Julia gets a lot of credit. She's played incredible this season. She's very clearly going to be somebody special. Did you know though, Charlie? Christina outplayed Julia at Worlds last year, and that Christina had a top 20 finish last year at Worlds. She was 18th and Julia was 20th.
Wow.
The point I want to make is not that Julia does not deserve all the hype. It's that Julia, Christina, Ida Letamaki all deserves all this hype, right? No, and that's, but my point is like you have a bunch of FPO players that deserve a lot of like these young European FPO.
I know,
players.
But there's a difference between being 17 and being 14.
And I hear you.
I mean, it's crazy to watch a child.
Yes.
Playing at this level.
It is.
But you're not wrong. I mean, I take your overall point.
Yeah.
I just think that we have to age curve a little bit and acknowledge that being 14 and doing this is like Dan Burr level type stuff.
Right. And that's fair. I thought Christina was 15.
I don't know how old she is, gonna be honest.
I thought Julia was, yeah, so Julia's 14.
I was using
right
17
now.
As a placeholder number, not a specific age of another person.
Right, Julia's 14, Christina's 15, right? My point is, like, it yes.
And Ida's 17? Letamaki?
I don't think she's that old. I think she's 16 now, yeah.
How old 16. Is Ida Emily Nessa?
That one I have no clue. I think she might be 17 or 18.
Insane, dude. Here's a problem that I have, okay? Why do we not see the same thing happening in MPO? I don't understand that.
I have no clue. I have no clue. I don't know what to tell you. I mean, we have a 1,000 rated 13-year-old. So
that's a good point. That's a really good point. Maybe that is happening and we just aren't seeing it at the same level.
You know, people point out the depth of MPO might just mean that these players are going to take longer. It's harder to make a splash when you're 13, when you have guys that are, you know, touring top pros.
Yeah,
all
and there's
the way
100 players exactly. Who are good. There's 150 players rated higher than you versus in FPO, there's only 10 players rated higher than you.
Exactly. So I think it's just more about visibility.
Yeah. Acromion says after the we'll hold the thought. Yeah, that's fine. We can wait. We'll give our thoughts on Kristen and stuff and external things in a sec. I'm so impressed with these young players. To me, it remains one of the most exciting parts of what's going on in FPO right now. But at the end of the day, Evelina just keeps winning majors and keeps winning Elite Series, and the putting is clearly improved. Maybe not on a day-to-day basis, but she's got these rounds where she comes out there, and when she's playing with confidence, she plays like she did today, and she does, in those moments, look like the best player in the field, because yes, she is literally throwing it the best in the field still.
Yep.
And so when she's putting at a high level from circle one, this is what we knew was possible for years and years. It's just that there's not a level of consistency there. So if she finds consistency, there's no reason she can't become one of the great winners of all time in FPO.
Yep. I mean, it really could be, you know, we had the conversation with Kristen gone, like, who's it going to be? Is it going to be Silva? Is it going to be Holland? Evelina figures out the putter. It's going to be Evelina.
I know.
It absolutely will be.
It's wild. FPO is exciting, man. Every week, you never know.
Yeah, that's boy, it's really unfortunate. I mean, you can't blame Evelina for just like coming out on a heater to take away this round. But it's unfortunate because it really felt like a toss up all the way up until, like you said, about hole five. And then it was like, all right, well, that was fun while it lasted.
Exactly. MPO, I mean, I don't have a ton to say about the specific round today. Obviously, Gannon kind of played slow. There was a moment there early in, you're like, could Gannon actually blow this? Like, he gave away three shots in the first four holes.
Mm-hmm.
And you're like, okay, like maybe, but he then went on to go birdie and got a birdie at the ninth, and that pretty much sealed it. Like, mm-hmm. he was still able to get some bogeys late, and it didn't hurt him too much.
Despite Brian's best efforts.
But you know, this is classic. Like, this throws me back to when Gannon beat Ricky at European Open a couple years ago at the Beast, where it was like Rick played a crazy good tournament and did still Gannon won, and that's what happened again.
Ricky was
9 shots better than third and lost by 4 shots. And obviously Ricky had his chances earlier in the week to stay more connected and make today's round more relevant, and he didn't do that, and it's on him. But at the end of the day, when you zoom out over 4 rounds, like, he really did play really quite well, and it's just Gannon is on another level.
Yeah. And that's a big part of it. It's just one of those, though, that, like, man, and I just know I'm going to get yelled at for this, but, like, boy, if you could just draft Ricky when he's out of contention at a major as a player, like, you'd have the best fantasy player in the world. Lays an egg in round 3, does not play well, shows up, and then just shoots top hot round today. I think today's conditions were much harder than yesterday's. The wind was, like, up. Ricky plays a great round, but it's after the pressure, like, it's after he's so far behind that it was basically inconceivable that he was ever going to catch Gannon.
Yeah. Other things of note, Gavin Babcock's starting to play pretty good on a week-to-week basis right now.
True.
Don't look now, but he hasn't missed a top 10 since Masters Cup, 3rd OTB, 8th Cascade, 9th Northwest Champs, and now 3rd here at the European Open. You know what? He lit his fire, dude.
Yuli won, and he's like, crap, I got to get my act together.
Incredible. another good showing for Eagle. He ends up finishing 5th with an 8-under today.
Mm-hmm.
I'm officially saying he's turned a corner, and he's going to be a contending player again.
Okay.
It's happened.
Here's what I think. I think you're right, but I don't think it's going to play out quite in the way that a lot of people think. I think a lot of people are thinking that it's going to be linear this season. I think what's happened is Eagle is still going to have his peak. The plays really great in the West Coast and the European stretch, and then there's going to be a regression when we get back. But that hill, like, the lows and the ceiling are going to keep sliding up next season. So I'm expecting a regression at the end of this season, but I'm not expecting it to be as big as it's been in previous years. Like, I think he'll still be involved, but I'm not, I don't think Eagle wins the season, but I think you might be right that next season he could come back and could get a win.
We'll see. I mean, I feel like he just looks different than he has for 2 years. The game looks better.
It does look better. It looks Farmage better.
Farmage says Eagle misses the cut at Ledgestone.
It looks better on the courses that he's the best at.
But this is not necessarily a course where he's, like, been super successful in the past. This is not Beast.
And that's true. But he also has this weird thing where he's like, yeah, I just like the energy of a place. Like, I like the West Coast, so I play well.
He's a crystals guy.
He is. That's right.
it's, you know, vortexes.
Listen,
other players in the top 10, Calvin, Isaac, Atu Tuominen, a nice weekend for him. Niklas ended up finishing in the top 10, and Mauri Vilman.
You know, and that's four Europeans. Like, we were talking about European FPO versus MPO, obviously not at the top, but four Europeans in the top 10 is great. And then you've got another grouping of four in the top 20, five in the top 20 who are from 11 to 20 with ties, obviously.
Ezra Aderholt, 10 over par, 76th. Yikes. He's having a tough year.
Man. Now that you said that, he's going to win next week. Oh, man.
I mean, yeah. He's all you got to do is call him out and then see, like, I'm never picking him again, and then he'll win. And then when you pick him, he'll go back down to 76th.
Yeah. Listen, Mike, I'm not giving you odds on that. No way. That's the joke. But no way I'm doing that. Ezra Aderholt, unpickable.
Okay. We got to do, I want to do some general stuff. EPT and Kristen, your thoughts in the booth.
Potential. I think I wanted Kristen to do more. It was very much, that's Jibin says fine for a first performance. That's, I really felt like one where she wasn't as comfortable. I wanted to hear more from her. I wanted more analysis. I wanted her insight. When she gave it, it was excellent. She was just a little too quiet. A little too like concise. Even I want her as the color when she's like give her opinion on something to tell me the why. She did sometimes. She didn't when I like she didn't. I don't think she did it enough. I do think it's just a kind of comfort thing, and I think she will do more. Hope they bring her back. I know she's gonna be back for the European swing. So
I also have to say, I think like this course is not set up particularly well for like insightful analysis from color commentators.
Okay. Counterpoint, Brian was a freaking genius on the mic this week, though. He on hole, what was it? Hold on. Hole 9, 10, 11, I think. 11's the one with the shed. I kid you not. So Brian goes, so someone throws the backhand and they pull it inside. Or no, they throw the forehand, they saw it off. And Brian goes, this is the most common mistake because when players try and push it flat, they get a little bit of turn and they challenge the shed. Immediately after, Teemu hits the shed because he turns his forehand over. Next comes up. Brian goes, oh, in these trees, roller is going to be the play. And Esa-Pekka goes, you think? Immediately after, three players lay down a roller.
He's going Tony Romo on him.
Seriously, yes. That's exactly what I thought. Brian was fantastic. So, but my point is, like, I hear you. However, the great color commentator of Brian does have that analysis. And that's why, like if Kristen can do that, that brings so much life to this course and the technicality. Brian talking about the tunnel shots and the adjustments there. Like, Brian brings technicality and life to this course because of his color commentary.
Yeah. I mean, Brian's obviously fantastic. I think let's keep in mind, this is the first time that Kristen is doing it, and Brian has done this.
Yes. That's
150 times on DGN.
Potential. And that's, it was good. There's potential. I hope she gets to do more.
Let me scroll the chat here. Let's see. Jomez used Josh and Charlie's sound bites at the beginning of round one front nine. They love to use upshot clips. Where's my royalties, bruh?
I think we're in a world's one. We're in another big one, I think, that someone messaged us about. So anyway, yeah, it's cool.
Let's see. Sheriff notes that Kristen is doing this in a second language. That's an excellent point. She speaks so well in English, you forget, but
she absolutely does. True. Recognizing all that, that's not why I'm here saying like I don't want Kristen. I'm saying Brian is top tier. Kristen was good. I think she has a ton of potential. I hope she can keep doing more so she can get more comfortable with it.
Yeah. That's, I think that's totally fair.
That's my take.
I need more from Worlds in 29. I need this course to keep getting refined, and I need them to show up with a great second course. And, you know, I'm excited to have another European World Championships. I think it's great. But, you know, they're going to be going up against some pretty solid courses over the next few years, right? We've got Michigan and we've got Portland. Then we're going back to Virginia. And like Ivy Hill, I don't know. It's all right. But I honestly think I like Ivy Hill more than I like this current course. There's just like more variety in like elevation and stuff. Like, but you know, obviously New London is so, so good. And then, you know, then we're going to Estonia. And they got plenty of time. So I just want to see them keep moving forward, you know?
Yeah. I will be honest. I'm very excited about the fact that we're doing it on the presidential palace grounds. I'm nervous. I'm nervous because I just think there's going to be more limitations, more restrictions into what they can do. That's part of what this course suffers from, right? Is they're using leftover land on the edges of a property not designed for this. This is not the top course by any means. The beast is better. The monster is miles ahead. I enjoy it. And I think part of it is a little bit of nostalgia from being there, but, I'm nervous about the next course.
We'll see what happens. They got some time to work on it. Some people in the chat saying they should just go back to last year's layout and just make it sprinty again and not make it overly punishing. I mean, I don't know.
I don't know. I like
to please everyone.
Yeah. I thought what I liked about this though, is that I felt like it wasn't just like a certain hole that had teeth or certain like five holes. Sure. There was a harder stretch, but players were taking bogeys all over the place. And that to me suggests that like, the challenge was elevated across the field, like across the course, and not just by making several holes like blisteringly hard. And that's the improvement you want to see. So.
Dogs.
Oh man. I'm going with Temu. He was so close to getting the solo third, but you could see how important the birdie on 16-17 was to keep himself tied for third. And to have that pressure in order to do that is a really big moment for a player who is not used to that spotlight, who played on the lead card with the best players in the world and stayed on there the entire way through.
It's pretty sick. It's pretty sick. MPO. Tama was definitely the obvious one. I'm going to go kind of like a bizarro deep cut here. And I'm going to give you Aaron Gossage. Let me tell you why. This dude came out and shot a 6 over 985 rated opening round. Absolute garbage. Then he rallies all the way back to a top 20 thanks to an 8 under today, 1069 rated. And you know, top 20 at a major is good. I mean, it's not obviously was not his weekend, but you know, he and Ezra Aderholt both were horrible in round one. Ezra finished 76th. Gossage came back and finished 20th. And I just want to tip the cap.
I love it. I like the deep cut dog there.
People just being savage.
You are getting fried for this.
Well, what am I? What, do you want me to just pick the person who finishes in second and third every week? Because people are coming at me. What a dog to come out like garbage. No, obviously not. If I was picking somebody from round one, he's not getting picked. But I think you got to give respect to people who don't give up, come out and play well down the stretch in order to do something respectable, like finish top 20 or top 10. I could go Eto Tuominen just because like that dude always seems to finish top 10 in majors. Obviously, you could give. I picked Eagle a couple weeks ago because and he had a bad final round, but like everybody was like, "Boo! You picked Eagle! Boo!" Now everybody's booing this. I don't know.
you can't win, Charlie. You can't win.
Okay. FPO, I get to go first. Yep. Obviously, I'm taking Julia Force.
I did that.
What an unbelievable week again for a player who just should not be this good yet. And I'm so impressed. Again, she played really well today and just got outplayed by Evelina, who had the hot round. I mean, Julia was one off the second hot round from Ella, a 7-under. Like, she did not shrink from the moment. Awesome stuff.
Yeah. I am going to go. All right. I'm going to give it to Christina for the tournament. But I want to give my reasoning. I think is it's a good reason here. Besides, just she finished third. Christina comes out. She's on the lead card. Is 2 over par through 11 and manages to string together. I mean, as a 15-year-old on the lead card of a major, getting just wrecked in this final round, it would be so easy to just like spiral and be done. And everyone would say, you know what? That sucks. She did great. It's too bad. She stabilizes. She gets 4 birdies in a row, pars out to the end. Gets down to 2 under par, still finishes on the podium. That's dog behavior to me. I mean, she only beat Ella by 1. She could have finished down outside the top 5 very quickly. And she stabilizes and gets dog behavior for that.
It's very doggish. All improved. Awesome. Very interesting tournament. I'm excited for these upcoming European events. I mean, now what's funny is we go from the major and now we go to world-class courses. Yep. We go from kind of like a blah course to world-class courses, like amazing. Uh-huh. And I'm excited. You know, we had a couple of weeks of great, some of the finest tracks in the world. So that's going to be fun and should be cool to see how players do over the next couple of weeks. And then, hey, we've got U.S. Women's right around the corner in Salt Lake. So that's going to be pretty sweet. Major.
Mountain golf. It's going to be a lot of fun. You ride the ski lift up. It's going to be great.
All right, folks. Thank you so much for tuning in. We'll be back with you later this week. It's probably going to be a one-show week because I'm on vacation. Josh will touch base. Okay. I'm going to try to get Evelina on the show. I'm going to do what I can. I'm going to be like, Evelina, you name a time and we'll make it happen. And we'll see. The Finns are really, really hard to get a hold of. I don't think I've ever had Silva even reply.
Well,
Hannah has replied, but she's just not comfortable in English. You know, I get it.
And I talked to Silva in person at Worlds last year and asked her about it. And she's like, I just am not comfortable doing podcasts in English. So
I totally get it. We got it a translator.
Yeah.
So anyway, we'll try to get Evelina. We'll probably try to get Gannon too. And we will talk more about this major and what it means. And how many is this for Gannon now? Like, I don't 5? Keep track on a week-to-week basis.
I think this is also 5 for him.
Is it only 5? It's got to be more than that. He's 2 USDGCs. No, he's a Worlds.
He's got 2 Europe.
He has 2 European Opens.
He doesn't have a Champions Cup, remember?
I know that. Okay, I guess I count it. I guess it's 5. It's crazy it's only 5.
Well, you ready for this, though, Charlie?
Five and counting. Yeah.
18 starts, 5 wins.
Yeah, crazy. And it's just getting started.
Yeah, yeah.
Does he win again another major this year?
Yes. I think the real question is, does he get 2 more?
Could be very interesting. You got to like him to win Worlds, obviously.
And what, he's got, do we say 2 USDGCs? Like, that man, as long as he's playing right now, he's the favorite at USDGC.
Of course. So. I just think that USDGC opens up more possible winners. Over 5 rounds, he's just so tough to beat. Yeah. All right. Thank you, everybody. Love having you here. Love chatting with you live. I'm going to get this pod up straight away for those who are not listening live. So I will talk to you all sometime this week. We'll let you know about the programming later in the week. Thanks. Bye.